This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's been described as one of nature's most exquisite offerings, the return of the migratory birds of prey, or raptors, on their journey back to their breeding grounds in the Northern Hemisphere. A phenomenon that begins in mid-February and lasts till mid-April. The Malaysian Nature Society have been organizing Raptor Watch every first week of March for years now, which is said to be the peak period to watch the most number of birds on their journey. Here to remind us about the significant annual affair is Andrew Sebastian, the Head of Communications at the Malaysian Nature Society. Welcome, Andrew.
Hello. Thanks, Mira. Thanks for having us again.
Andrew, it's the 15th Raptor Watch. Has it been going on for 15 years?
Yes. As a public event, Raptor Watch, it's the biggest ecotourism event in the country. Mm-hmm. 15 years as a public event, but just a little background. Members of the MNS have been watching raptors crossover at Tanjung Tuan since the 1960s.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's a long time.
Yeah, so we've recorded data for as long as 1960s and 70s. Okay. And as a public event, of course, it's 15 years.
All right. We will come back to Raptor Watch and what's really going on there. But before that, I mean, just 2 days ago, I read an article out as a talk said on the whole degazettement of four forest reserves that form part of the Selangor State Park for the construction, of course, of the Kuala Lumpur Outer Ring Road. Is this the same place where we spoke about the Quartz Ridge before?
Previously, yeah.
Well, is that the same thing?
Well, it's within the same area, mm-hmm. geographical area, yes.
You want to give us some more information? I mean, it's the third largest park in Peninsula Malaysia, and yet we are building this road through it.
Well, there's been a lot of resistance and to the claw project, namely because it eats into parts that has been earmarked mm-hmm. as part of the Selangor State Park.
Yeah.
And only very recently we saw a notice basically in the newspapers, and it's gone viral. It's on our Facebook, and everybody's getting really excited or upset about it. There's been calls for people to come and give their comments to the new area, to degazette or get a right of way mm-hmm. To build the road or road reserves into areas already identified as the Selangor State Park. So right now it's still early stages. There is a process. They put out a notice in the daily newspapers. And we do hope that a lot of people read it, a lot of people give feedback. Hence, process. So, yeah, for all the listeners out there, please go on to our Facebook or our website, mns.my. The coalition is going to meet soon. The friends of Selangor State Park, basically, we're going to meet soon, talk about moving forward and how do we deal with the latest threat, basically.
Can you gazette and then degazette, Andrew?
Well, again, there are a lot of legal issues, a lot of legal jargons being thrown here and there, a lot of process that's being been talked about right now. We won't know a lot more until we actually get to meet the people and having a chit-chat.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it seems like they are serious and they really want to go ahead and take away areas that is supposed to be protected for the Selangor State Park. That's not a good thing.
I think what my concern was, your convenience, having a road run through four forest reserves. Okay, that's one thing. Mm. But then that's a catchment area for raw water, for Selangor.
Well, among other things.
I think is even more important than your convenience, you know, driving.
Well, it seems very sinister. And we do hope that the pressure from the public, and we've been harping on this for quite some time now, and we do hope that definitively we'll get an answer to say that this won't go through, and you know, the integrity of the Selangor State Park will be kept. We do hope, but it is a process, and we do hope people get involved.
But we are willing to pay colossal amounts to pipe water from Pahang.
Exactly, especially
where is
when
that
it deals
logic?
Exactly. So yeah, please don't wash your car too often. Save water.
And you were dead serious about that. Nothing to laugh about, really. The MNS is also lobbying for the entire southern portion of Gunung Kantan in Ipoh to be conserved as a unit. Now, I understand the new flora and fauna species have been discovered there.
Yes. It's out in the papers. We're very happy with the experts that came on board. Dr. Ruth Kew from FRIM, she's been instrumental. Dr. Luke Wismer from La Sierra. They've discovered interesting, it's not shocking to us. They've discovered interesting, endemic, rare, if you want to say it, plants and animals there.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to show that limestone habitat or ecosystem is one of the most threatened, because once you mine the limestone, you tear it down, you cannot build it up and replant, and nature will cannot come back from that. So yeah, so the campaign, we're running a campaign with the local communities in and around Gunung Kantan, and we are hoping that again, it is a campaign. We do hope that there is a lot of support from the locals, especially.
How do you go about conserving that unit?
Well, very soon we hope to create a Friends of Gunung Kantan as well, to establish a local grassroots support, to not so much to protect it, but to preserve, to understand, to study, yeah, to appreciate Kantan as a threatened and very interesting ecosystem. And we are dead set against any form of quarrying and things that's going to happen, and or currently is happening right now in the area.
Are you saying then we should all not put marble in our houses?
Well, it is an interesting, I wouldn't say it's a debatable topic, but
isn't mining, where marble comes from?
Mining, yes, it is an industry that is does not seem to be sustainable, yes. We need to find an option for that. But to specifically talk about the issue of Gunung Kantan and the area, the limestone areas, it is home to diverse and rare plants and animals. We cannot take that away. We need to preserve what we have. As for the industry, I think there's a bigger picture for us to deal with. But right now, their activities will threaten and will send some of these unique plants and animals to extinction.
So conserve as much as you can at the moment.
Right now, yes.
I've read another article that land clearing activities have begun at a patch near Kampung Kuala Gula, one of Malaysia's biggest mangrove ecosystems.
Yes, in the Matang area.
We are still destroying our mangroves?
Well, sadly, yes. We are not learning from past experiences. There's been a lot of outcry from the local communities in
40,000
hectares. That's right.
What are we doing with that?
That's a big area.
Are we building on it?
Well, I hear prawn farms for the mangrove area, which has proved to be not very sustainable. A lot of prawn farms that's even occurring very close to Kuala Selangor and so on, they all fail after a certain year.
Because?
And they degrade. Well, you cannot maintain. Prawn farming is so specialized, and you know they need to have that balance of water, fresh water and seawater. And the chemicals that's used, the feed that's used, yeah, usually ends up killing off or polluting the very area that they are trying to develop. So prawn farming in the mangrove area, not really a great idea. In fact, it should not be allowed. And we do hope, again, a lot of people, especially the Perakians and people who live in very close to Kuala Gula.
We haven't learned from the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami.
Yes,
this is exposing the Perak's coastal
area. That comes to mind, because one of the reasons why a lot of areas were not hit badly, especially in our coastline,
because of the
mangrove forests. Yes.
I have no idea what to say, Andrew.
It is a battle, but yeah,
it is a
we have to remind ourselves, we have to remind the politicians, we have to remind the businesses that, you know, they cannot take away from nature what cannot be replaced.
The area is also near the Kuala Gula Bird Sanctuary.
Exactly, it's an important bird area.
Yep.
Yes, it is a
20,000 birds stop over.
It's an important area for roosting site for birds and so on. Again, we are messing with long-term sustainable ecotourism potentials for the area. You are jeopardizing again your soil erosions. You're again jeopardizing the water quality of the area and so on.
And it's just, if we talk about 20,000 birds, 200,000 birds stop every year, Andrew, at the Kuala Gula Bird Sanctuary.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, this is more a global problem if you think about it.
Because
you're disrupting the site of these migrating birds.
We have demarcated areas where it's safe haven for migratory birds and even local birds and wildlife, of course, to take refuge. And if we chip away into these areas which are supposed to be protected, you know, what else is there? What's left, you know?
Yeah.
So again, a lot of attention has to be put to this, because I think the local communities want to stop this. And I think even if you live in KL, please lend your support. Go online. And start lobbying and start talking about this as an issue, yes.
Matang mangrove forest.
Yes.
Isn't that what we're talking about here?
Yes, that's right.
And just to go back, the Kuala Selangor Nature Park has been proposed as the country's 8th Ramsar site. And that's
yes.
a big thing, really. It's
yes.
been proposed.
Well,
why can't we do the same for the Matang mangrove forest? Because that's 40,000 hectares.
Mm-hmm. Well,
can we do that?
If not more, yes. With the case of Kuala Selangor, we are going towards trying to get that listed as a Ramsar site. There is a process, there are criteria. Similarly, if you look at Matang, you look at Kuala Gula and so on, it's almost identical. It's almost identical. And certainly, yes, if you're asking me personally, yes, I would love for Matang, Kuala Gula also to be a Ramsar site.
Would you like to just explain quickly what a Ramsar site is?
Ramsar sites are areas of biological importance, yeah, especially using birds as an indicator. Ramsar, of course, is a town in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they had a big meeting, and heads of states all agreed that they will go back to their countries, identify sites that are going to be called Ramsar sites. And that, from there, they get international and local support from governments to actually create and establish sites of importance and protected areas.
Mm-hmm.
So Malaysia, we have quite a few down south in Johor, Ramsar sites,
okay.
Because wetlands, especially mangrove areas and so on, are so crucial and they are so threatened in the ecosystem that we really need these areas to exist.
So what does it mean to be a Ramsar site?
Well, if you become a Ramsar site, you are on the world map.
So you're obligated to protect
yes.
it.
So just like having a UNESCO heritage site, you are listed. You are
right.
special. You're unique to the world, you know.
And in a way, yes. there's pressure on you too.
To maintain it, to protect it, yes.
Right. I think we should put all our mangrove forests as Ramsar sites, don't you think?
I think so, yes.
We should. We're discussing MNS's latest developments and what they're actually championing in the country. Just one more before we move on to the Raptor Watch. There was a massive fish death in Tanjung Kupang in Johor, Andrew, due to possible land reclamation. What came to mind when you read that?
Well, of course, when price of fish as an industry, you know, price of fish is so expensive now. The oceans, our oceans are the resources are very, very limited. And when you hear fish deaths happening...
But this is a farmed fish?
Yes, these big quantities of fish that could go to feeding poor, feeding
yep.
people, you know, then it strikes to your heart to say, oh, what's happening here, you know? So whether it's farmed and so on, the resource that we have wasted on this one incident, and I think the DOE and certainly our MNS Johor branch are looking into this right now. People want answers to what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Land reclamation, any other forms of pollution in the water. Again, these are all indicators of things that are not going on right
yep.
in that area. This is not just in Johor, of course. It's all around the country. We just talked about Kuala Gula again. Again, nature can only provide so much. But we must learn to manage it properly, wisely. Yes.
All right. When we come back, we'll find out more about the 15th Raptor Watch 2014, which is happening on the 8th and 9th of March on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome back. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi, Andrew Sebastian, Head of Communications at the Malaysian Nature Society with me. We're discussing the 15th Raptor Watch 2014. I can't imagine, you know, how time flies every year, Andrew. You come in and talk about Raptor Watch every year and it seems like, you know, it's just happening so quickly. I mean, 1 year seems to pass really, really fast. So it's happening 8th and 9th of February. 8th and 9th of March
yes.
at the PNB Ilhan Resort Tanjung Tuan. I mean, it's an event by itself. Yeah. If you haven't gone, I really think you should take that time.
Thank you for joining us every year.
You are most welcome. I love it.
Now, right?
Haven't been lucky. I have not seen those raptors, so I'm not going to give up. 3 visits in a row every year. I've not seen the raptors.
Over 50,000 birds spotted last year.
Oh my God, that's a lot. That's a lot.
I'm sorry. You missed some of that.
I am not going to give up. I'm coming back this year, hopefully.
Yes.
Fingers crossed,
please
I will
do,
see
do, yes.
those raptors.
Yes.
But I love the jungle track through the forest reserve, going out down into secluded beaches. It's beautiful.
Yes,
if you haven't done
it,
please go. The view from the lighthouse is breathtaking. So M&S has been organizing Raptor Watch for, as I said, 15 years now. How has the event grown through the years?
Well, I wouldn't know how to measure success in terms of a public event, going by numbers of people alone. But we really didn't want Raptor Watch to attract about 1 million people there, because the area is so sensitive, the space is so limited. We do want a lot of people to come for the event, yes. But most importantly, we want people to enjoy and understand that such a place exists. Mm-hmm. Tanjung Tuan is actually 10th mile Port Dickson. It's in the state of Melaka, whereas Port Dickson is in Negeri Sembilan. People who go to the Blue Lagoon area and so on.
Yes.
Just around the corner is this beautiful coastal forest, primary coastal forest, very hard to come by these days, you know, primary forest, let alone a primary forest at a coastal area. And it hides a lot of secluded beaches, a lot of coves. It hosts a lot of things apart from raptors flying across into the tree lines in the forest and so on. It's also home to turtles, you know, green turtle, hawkbill turtle, you know.
Not seen those either yet.
From the lighthouse, looking down in the mornings, especially you see them foraging. Many people also won't believe it if I say hard corals still exist. Corals still exist in the greater Port Dickson, Tanjung Tuan area.
Yeah.
The lighthouse, of course, is one of the oldest in the country. It gives you excellent sunset view. People go to Bali and Tan Alor and watch the sunset there, you know, and say, wow, so beautiful. Okay, and I think most of them don't know, if you go to Tanjung Tuan, 10 mile Port Dickson, you get almost the same view too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fantastic. And these are all ecotourism gems, you know, where we try to promote an area where people should go and visit, enjoy.
Has Raptor Watch helped to conserve the raptors?
Well,
any tangible results?
Well, the fact that the forest still survives till today, I think that's testament enough.
There was evidence of human encroachment.
There was some human encroachment that has been dealt with. There were some illegal homes put up there, and it was torn down a few years ago. There were some proposals also to put more resorts and so on into the Tanjung Tuan Forest that has been shelved. So the point that the fact that it still exists, I think, is testament that Raptor Watch is working. People are going there to see the forest and raptors and to enjoy the beach.
Well, I even go on a normal day just to track and just to go down. It's a lot, peaceful.
Raptor Watch as an event is just a 2-day event.
Yeah.
The raptors, the birds of prey, fly in plus minus a month and a half, 2 months. So go and enjoy the birds, the phenomenon, the migration if you want to. But Tanjung Tuan exists all year round.
Mm-hmm.
Take your family for a picnic there anytime. It's open. Rules, of course, apply.
Yes,
you
then
need,
there
you
are.
Need to sign up.
Yeah, and it opens at a certain time and closes at a certain time. So you want to go at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
The spring raptor migration, which is happening now, happens mid-February and it'll last till mid-April. Can you just remind us what happens during this annual migration of the raptors?
Well, most birds will fly south during the winter. And so the months of October, November, the birds fly south. Small birds, large birds, you know, birds that cannot take the cold and snow and whatever not, they fly south. And most of them use the land bridge that connects Russia and China and Mongolia to the south. So most of them use the land bridge going into China, going into Thailand, crossing into Peninsular Malaysia, crossing over to Indonesia, going as far as Australia and New Zealand. Yeah, so that is winter migration. So they escape winter. And in spring, come February, March, April, plus
which
minus,
is now.
Yeah, which is now. Okay, they fly back north, back home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they need, for birds of prey, especially raptors, which are families of eagles and kites and buzzards and so on. Yeah, so these big birds, they need big tall trees to offer them safety in when they roost, when they spend their nights and so on. Yeah, so they need these big trees to be there, because just like our plus rest stops along the highway from point A to point B, where you want to go.
Yes.
To fly non-stop to Russia from Australia, that's just too long. And they have to make, every night they have to make stops somewhere. And they depend on the forest that they have known for thousands and thousands of years to be there.
And so they're coming from Indonesia?
Right now, they'll be crossing from Indonesia into Tanjung Tuan, and they'll fly immediately. If the weather is still good and great, they'll still fly north. If the weather is bad, they will stay in Tanjung Tuan or the Port Dickson area. They will fly north immediately because they just want to get back home.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they rely on the forest still being there in Tanjung Tuan. They want the forest to still be there in Kuala Gula. They need the forest to still be there, you know, all across the central spine, if you want to talk about it, you know. And they need safe passage.
Right, and hence the reason why we should make sure that the forest reserve is there for them.
Exactly.
You know, I was reading, Andrew, I don't know how far this is true, that these raptors are very faithful to their partners. Do they leave them behind and move, or do they
it's
all...
It's a family thing. It's a family thing. Yeah.
But they all move together.
They all move together. And in the case of courting birds of prey, like the sea eagle in Langkawi and local birds, yeah, some of them are known to be very monogamous. Yeah. Mm. So again, lessons learned.
But then we're not
some
birds.
Too, yes. Birds, yes, yeah.
We're a different creature altogether.
Free will, yeah.
We're monogamous, Andrew. Yes. Never doubt that.
Yes, we are. Yes,
are there days when, you know, as I said, I've gone and I've not seen any birds, mm-hmm. but there are times when you will not see any raptors.
Exactly. Yep. We are lucky enough because during the launch of the Raptor Watch event, past 2 years especially, the same morning of the launch and after the speeches is done, you know, and because the heat was on, it was about 10, 30, 11.
They need the thermal to fly, right?
The thermal, certainly in that one, that half an hour, I believe, that was the highest record. I think 4,000 birds flew into Yeah, and it was so good. And even the state exco asked us, hey, did someone release the birds? Because it seemed like too convenient of the timing, you know. You know, as soon as he announces it and
that's
he got
how
off stage.
Knowledgeable we are about
exactly.
these things.
Sure. Oh, yes,
it's an indication. It is an indication. What would you say are the joys of observing these birds, Andrew?
I think more often, whether you're a seasoned bird watcher or you're even new to this, I think more often is the connectivity. You know, I've seen a lot of Facebook posting, you know, go to the forest, you get better connection, no Wi-Fi, but better connection. Mm-hmm. I think it's the connectivity we have with nature and ourselves. So if you're sitting up there at the lighthouse, you have your family with you, and you have your sardine sandwich or whatever it is, pack of drinks, you know, and you're just watching these birds fly across or seeing the turtles down at the bay, you know, and the wind is blowing into your face and so on. Then I think you will go more and more, you realize, and I hope this is true, you realize that there are more important things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And nature connects us to that.
Yeah.
I would think.
And we are part of that ecosystem.
And we are all
it?
Part of this, yes.
Yep. Have there been rare sightings of raptors?
Well,
what's the most rare sighting you've...
Well, apart from the...
4,000 birds coming through.
Well, apart from the thousands of birds flying across. Well, apart from that, we also get our kicks watching the turtles, you know. It's so rare to see turtles these days. From the lighthouse looking down, especially in the morning with the sun behind you, you get to see the turtles come up to the surface, mm-hmm. take air and go down. And every time they come up, everybody's like, hey, look, look, hey, look. And everybody gets excited. And then it goes down, everybody's like, oh. Then when the turtle comes up again, hey, look.
And you can see this from the lighthouse.
From the Tanjung Lighthouse.
It is quite high.
And yes, it is. Bring a pair of binoculars. Otherwise, with the naked eye, you can only see an object coming up and going down. But... Another important note about Raptor Watch, starting last year, first time ever, the lighthouse is open to the public. You hardly ever get a chance to get into lighthouses because it's a security thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But for Raptor Watch, it's going to be open to the public. So if I were you, take advantage. Only 2 days is going to be open to the public between the hours of 10 to about 5, I think, in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So come up there. Enjoy the view because, you know, wow, it's a special treat, basically.
Of course. You know, I wanted to ask you this. We have a Brahmini kite right across the road from us who happens to always fly by where my producer and I sit. And every afternoon, or late morning, I apologize, between 11 and 12, he or she flies by and it's beautiful to watch. Now, he's a raptor, isn't he?
He's a bird of prey, yes.
What is he doing here?
Well,
he's not left.
He's a resident. He's a resident, yeah. So
some of them do make Malaysia their
residents.
Home.
Well, Brahmini kite, for example, interesting thing is they are the same family of the American bald eagle.
Mm-hmm.
So they share the same feature, white head. with the chestnut brown body.
Yes,
yeah, yes.
Beautiful.
So think of them as the cousins of the bald eagle in America. So you're connected to America. But most importantly, they are resident birds and they are resident raptors, all the same, like your Brahmini kite. Yeah. And I've seen a few in KLCC even, you know. This is their domain. They feed on maybe roadkill. Unfortunately, sometimes they feed on snakes and rodents and so on. Yeah.
Okay.
So they are part of our... This is part of their home too.
Okay.
And it's good that people are noticing. Thank you. I hope you try to take some photos of this.
Well, I've got to bring my big camera because he's really fast. And you can see him come out about 11.
That's a challenge.
The heat, you know, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a challenge, yeah.
So but it's beautiful to watch him.
It's beautiful. You see a lot of them in Langkawi, especially when...
But those are the white-chested eagles.
The white-bellied sea eagle, mm-hmm. yeah, and the Brahmini kite. And Langkawi celebrates the Brahmini kite because they have a big statue of that,
yes,
you know.
Yes, of course.
In the Terang Lang, yeah, big statue of
yes.
that. But it is a pretty common bird of prey, and I do hope more and more people notice it's around.
Yeah. I think, you know, yes. if you're really interested, walk around with a very basic binoculars. It makes a
yes.
big difference. Mm-hmm. Even when you're on
yes,
the highway
is.
Traveling, sometimes you do look up, you know, and you'll see some of them. So aside from the majestic beauty, raptors are often at the top of the food chain. And
yes.
And it is this very top billing that their predatory lifestyle causes them to face distinct conservation concerns. What are some of these concerns?
Well,
besides, of course, us destroying their
habitat,
yes,
their homes, yeah.
As they're flying back.
Mm. Well, there's been some reports about raptors dying because of poisoned baits, or you know, some rats are poisoned.
Who'd want to do that?
Well, sometimes plantations, people with agriculture. You know?
Right.
So they poison the rats
right.
and so on, and birds of prey inadvertently feed on this and they themselves get sick and die.
Mm-hmm.
There's been also incidences in Langkawi again. We've made a report to the wildlife department. A lot of mist nets being put up in the paddy fields, and that has entrapped a lot of raptors, Brahmini kite as well, you know,
right.
get entangled in the snares and they die in the nets, in
right.
the mist nets, yeah. So...
But farmers need to live.
Yes.
Palm oil plantations cannot afford to have rats.
Exactly.
Then you have the snakes feeding on the rats.
Yeah. Well, owls are also used as a biological detergent, you know. So,
okay.
Yeah, so owls are, in fact, a lot of plantations put up owl boxes so mm-hmm. that the owls feed on the rats.
Okay.
And then they feed on the fruits. So hopefully this is seen as a good partnership.
So there are sustainable natural ways.
But birds of prey are facing a lot of challenges themselves. Yeah, so we should do everything we can to help.
Mm-hmm. Mm. What are you doing at M&S to help?
Well, basically, again...
Is it all about awareness?
I think it's all about awareness. Without going into the technical solution to raptor conservation and so on, I think it's the basic awareness. They need there to be an ecosystem. They need to feed. They need to flourish, just like us.
Mm-hmm.
I think people need to understand that, you know, from the real small little bugs to the flowering plants in your garden, even
it's,
you know,
all part of the food chain.
All part of a chain, yeah.
Next time you kill a cockroach, cycle. Think again.
cockroach. Yeah,
yeah, tell yeah, me about that. Cockroaches. Should we kill them or not?
Well, there are a few types of cockroaches.
I do, anyway.
Most importantly, there are two types. Yeah, the big ones that you find at home.
Yeah,
those are American roaches.
Mm-hmm.
We love America, yes, but we don't love American roaches. Well, that, please, yeah, terminate with extreme prejudice. Go ahead, yeah. Feed it to your kids, you know. I mean, eat it or whatever. Do something about it, but kill it. We don't want that,
okay.
yeah. In the forests and in the caves that we have, there are forest roaches too mm-hmm. and cave roaches. And they play an important part in that ecosystem.
Okay.
So not all roaches are bad.
Sure.
Just American roach.
So go all the way if you want to
kill
it.
Alien species, yes.
Okay.
We don't want that.
The one
yes.
at home, yes, do yes. that. Fringe events happening for Raptor Watch, 8th and 9th of March.
Well, there is a raptor hunt that we are... Every year we do a hunt, yeah. It's mm-hmm. the raptor hunt, basically. This year is interesting because we're getting some interesting prizes, yeah. Flights to Asian destinations and so on. Raptor hunt, among other things, yeah, it's catered to family and kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, so please bring your family and kids, your friends, you know. Take part in all our activities. Raptor hunt is just one. There's going to be a musical thing again. There's big face painting. You have kids stuff going on every now and then. But all these activities are catered to get people to be connected, not just to Raptor Watch as an event, but basically the bigger conservation awareness
of
idea.
Course. So make your way down to PNB Ilham Resort, Tanjung Tuan. It's on the 10th mile of Port Dickson. Now the highway goes right through. So it's really quick from the Klang Valley. It's happening on the 8th and 9th of March. If you'd like more information, log on to the MNS website, which is mns.my, or you can go on to mnsraptorwatch.wordpress.com. You also have a Facebook page, Andrew.
Yes, we do. Malaysian Nature Society. News update there as well, and we do hope that a lot of people get on board and like it.
Yes, like it. I mean, you have about 9,000 followers at the moment. Not bad at all.
Thank you.
And everything is listed there, you know, developments in all areas as far as nature and conservation is concerned.
Yes.
So go on to the Facebook page. It was a pleasure having you on, Andrew.
Likewise,
thank you.
All the best for
2014. Andrew Sebastian, Head of Communications, Malaysian Nature Society on the Raptor Watch 2014 on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.